The Screaming Skull, written by Frances Marion Crawford, read by Martina Mercer.
I have often heard it scream. No, I am not nervous. I am not imaginative. And I never believed in ghosts, unless that thing is one. Whatever it is, it hates me almost as much as it hated Luke Pratt, and it screams at me. If I were you, I would never tell ugly stories about ingenious ways of killing people, for you never can tell but someone at the table may be tired of his or her nearest and dearest. I have always blamed myself for Mrs. Pratt's death, and I suppose I was responsible for it in a way, though heaven knows I never wished her anything but long life and happiness. If I had not told that story, she might be alive yet. That is why the thing screams at me, I fancy. She was a good little woman, with a sweet temper, all things considered, and a nice gentle voice. But I remember hearing her shriek once when she thought her little boy was killed by a pistol that went off, though everyone was sure that it was not loaded. It was the same scream, exactly the same, with a sort of raising quaver at the end. Do you know what I mean? Unmistakable. The truth is, I had not realised that the doctor and his wife were not on good terms. They used to bicker a bit now and then when I was here, and I often noticed that little Mrs. Pratt got very red and bit her lip hard to keep her temper, while Luke grew pale and said the most offensive things. He was that sort when he came in the nursery. I remember, and afterward at school, he was my cousin, you know. That is how I came by this house after he died, and his boy Charlie was killed in South Africa. There were no relations left. Yes, it's a pretty little property, just the sort of thing for an old sailor like me who has taken to gardening. One always remembers one's mistakes much more vividly than one's cleverest things, doesn't one? I've often noticed it. I was dining with the Pratts one night when I told them the story that afterwards made so much difference. It was a wet night in November, and the sea was moaning. Hush! If you don't speak, you will hear it now. Do you hear the tide? Gloomy sound, isn't it? Sometimes about this year of... Hello, there it is. Don't be frightened, man. It won't eat you. It's only a noise after all. But I'm glad you've heard it, because there are always people who think it's the wind or my imagination or something. You won't hear it again tonight, I fancy, for it doesn't often come more than once. Yes, that's right. Put another stick on the fire and a little more stuff into that weak mixture you're so fond of. Do you remember the old Blauklot, the carpenter, on the German ship that picked us up when the Clontarf went to the bottom? We were hove to in a howling gale one night, as snug as you please, with no land within 500 miles, and the ship coming up and falling off as regularly as clockwork. "Biddy to Barbeebles, ashore tis night poise," old Blauklot sang out, as he went off to his quarters with the sailmaker. "I often think of that, now that I'm ashore for good and all." Yes, it was on a night like this when I was at home for a spell, waiting to take the Olympia out on her first trip. It was on the next voyage that she broke the record, do you remember? But that dates it. 92 was a year, early in November. The weather was dirty, Pratt was out of temper, and the dinner was bad, very bad indeed, which didn't improve matters, and cold, which made it worse. The poor little lady was very unhappy about it, and insisted on making a Welsh rarebit on the table to counteract the raw turnips and half-boiled mutton. Pratt must have had a hard day. Perhaps he had lost a patient. At all events, he was in a nasty temper. "My wife is trying to poison me, you see," he said. "She'll succeed some day." I saw that she was hurt, and I made believe to laugh, and said that Mrs. Pratt was much too clever to get rid of her husband in such a simple way. And then I began to tell them about the Japanese tricks with spun glass and chopped horsehair and the like. Pratt was a doctor, and knew a lot more than I did about such things, but only that put me on my mettle. And I told a story about a woman in Ireland who did for 3 husbands before anyone suspected foul play. Did you never hear that tale? The 4th husband managed to keep awake and caught her.